we find him in John chapter 1. If you look in John chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 40. John chapter 1, verse 40. Aren't you glad we have a Bible? A book we can trust implicitly. Every word came from God. Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now, some folks have a little problem with that, but the word all means all. Amen. Every word. Jesus said every jot and tittle. Not one jot or one tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled. Well, that hasn't happened yet. All the book's not fulfilled yet, so not one jot or tittle has passed away. We've had it from the time it was written until now, and we'll continue to have it. In fact, Psalm 119 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That means before it was ever written down on earth, it was already settled in heaven. That was some thousand years before Christ, before the New Testament was written down. It was already settled in heaven. When I pick up my Bible and read a verse, I'm reading what God said. Not what somebody thinks God said, or not what somebody thinks God meant, but I'm reading what God said. What a blessing. What a blessing. And by the way, that's what faith is built on and based on. Believing God. You can't believe God if you don't have His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is an absolute essential to what we're doing here. So in John chapter 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak, in other words, John was baptizing, and Jesus came, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and pointed to Jesus. And the disciples who were there that day began to follow Jesus instead of John. Now, we're going to pick that up in verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found him." We found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. We found him. So as soon as he heard who the Christ was, what did he do? He went to tell it. And who did he tell it to? His own brother. It says he first findeth his own brother, Simon. The very first thing he did, not the second, not the third, the very first thing he did was go find his brother. Now, why do you think he did that? I'll tell you why. Because he loved his brother. And because he had found the Messiah, he wanted his brother to find the Messiah. So he went and told him, "We found him." But he didn't stop there. Look what it says next, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. He didn't just tell him, but he brought him to Jesus. Now that's soul winning, folks. Not just to tell, but bring them. We used to sing the song, "Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin." Remember that song? Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them in. Well, that's what he did here in chapter 1 of John. Now, Andrew, we're going to see several times, and every time we see Andrew in the scriptures doing something, what he's doing is bringing somebody to Jesus. This is the first example. A second example I would show you is in John chapter 6. If you go to John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, we have the account. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels of the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus instructed his disciples to feed the multitude. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And they began to object, well, we have nothing to feed them with. But I want you to look at what happens here in John chapter 6. Philip answered him, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. That's a year's salary for a soldier. 200 pennyworth is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, there he is again, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? In other words, in his travels among the people, Andrew found this young man, this lad, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Andrew took him to Jesus. Now, I'm sure the question was asked, what are 5 loaves and two fishes among so many people? But in Andrew's mind, I believe he knew that God could use the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed that multitude if he so chose. In other words, he believed in miracles. He believed in the power of God. Do we believe in the power of God today? Well, we should. Because he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still able. So there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus went on to use those 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the multitudes. Then we see Andrew again, chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. So here was some Greeks. They're not Jews, but they've heard and have become familiar with Jesus' doctrine. And they wanted to learn more, and they wanted to be a part of it. So they come to Philip and said, well, we would like to have an audience with this man. We would like to meet him and talk to him. They came to Philip. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Wonder why he came to Andrew. Well, I think because Andrew is one that was accustomed to taking people to Jesus. And he took them to Jesus. So we see an example here in Andrew of somebody who's accustomed to leading people to the Lord. That would be a good example for us to follow. Amen. Andrew. So that's what this class is all about. How can we lead people to the Lord? What should we do? Now, I hope you all been listening. Have you been listening? Anybody have any questions over what we've covered so far? Anybody have any questions about what we've covered? Nobody. Well, that's good, because I have some questions for you. Number one, if we're going to go soul winning, what should we do in preparation for going soul winning? Who can name something we should do? Pray, all right, there's one thing. Do what? Okay. All right. Be familiar with the scriptures. Take tracts. All right. What? Appearance. Important. How we look, how we present ourselves to other people. First impression's important, is it not? First impressions are hard to overcome, so it's important the first impression be a good impression. All right? Who else has one? All right. All right. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we ought to conduct ourselves accordingly. Somebody said we ought to take tracts with us. What else should we take with us? A Bible, not a family Bible. You know those big Bibles you tuck under your arm? No, that wouldn't be good. Why wouldn't that be good? People will avoid you. They won't answer the door. They know why you're coming. And they're afraid you're from one of those cults, probably. So what do we want to do? We want to sneak up on them. We want to ambush them, if you will. So how do you do that? Here's how you do that. You didn't know I had that, did you? Huh? You know, it was right here in my pocket. So when I go to the door, nobody knows what I have in my pocket. But I'm prepared because I have the Bible with me. Why is it important that I take my Bible with me? All right, that's what they need to hear. Why do they need to hear the Bible? All right, and by grace are you saved through faith? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, even by the what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. Now, if that's true, then shouldn't that be what I present to the hearer? What God says? You know, I've learned through the years that if I have my Bible with me and I can open that Bible and show them from the Bible, this is what God said, it has greater impact on those who hear it. When they get saved, I'll ask them, for example, I'll give them assurance verse of salvation, like John 3:36 or John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. And I'll read them the verse. I said, now, according to this verse, if you were to die today, where would you go? They'd look at that verse and they'd look at me and they'd say, I'd go to heaven. I say, how do you know you'd go to heaven? And the right answer is because God said so. Not because some man said so, not because the preacher said so, but because God said so. That's what settles it. God said it. How many in here this morning know for sure when you leave here, you're going to heaven? How many of you know that? All right, it's almost universal. How do you know that? Because God's word says it. There is no other way to know it. Well, I just feel it. Have you ever heard that? I just feel like it. Well, you know, feelings change. Have you ever had a feeling and that feeling turned out to be wrong? How many like that? A couple of us. Feelings are not reliable. God's word is reliable. God's word is dependable. By grace are you saved through what? Feeling. No. Faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is believing God. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Not in God. He believed God. In other words, he believed what God had said. And because he believed what God said, he was counted righteous. He received God's righteousness. Same plan today. It hasn't changed any. If we believe God, God will count us righteous, save us, put us into his family, make us his child. So it's important to take a Bible with you when you go. All right? Anybody else have one? All right, Tim. All right. And by that, what do you mean? All right. Will everyone accept it? No. So let's suppose you go and you knock on the door and the people who answer the door tell you they're not interested. What should you do? All right. There's no one answer to that question. It was a trick question. Okay? Here you're going to have to use wisdom. You're going to have to try to determine, are they really not interested, or are they just trying to get rid of me? There's a difference. There's some people who will try to put you off and get you to go somewhere else because they're not comfortable talking about eternal things right now. But they are interested. Some people aren't interested. And Brother Leonard here is right. When you run into them, what should you do? Hand them a tract and go to the next door. Don't waste your time trying to convince them. By the way, we can't convince them anyway. Who has to convince them? God does. God, our job isn't to convince anyone. Our job is to present the gospel. God does the convincing or the convicting. We do the presenting. And hopefully we do it in the power of God. That's why we do all these preparatory things. We pray, we go as an ambassador, we conduct ourselves appropriately, we dress appropriately, we don't offend with halitosis or bad body odor or anything like that. We don't want to offend. Let the word of God offend if anything offends. Let's not be offensive ourselves. In other words, we're there to do everything we can to get them to Christ. All right. So we're prepared to go, and we're out to walk in the street and going up to the first door. What should we do as we approach the first door? Anybody have any ideas? What was that? I think I heard you correctly. Find something about that house you can compliment. Is that what you were saying? That's what I thought you were saying. Yes, find something you can compliment about. You want to establish a warm relationship with that person behind the door. And one way to do that is compliment them about something. And I think if you do that, it ought to be genuine. Make it a genuine compliment. If you can't find anything to genuinely compliment, then I think you're better off not to compliment. Just move on. Okay? So we're going to the door and we're looking for something we can say that'll be complimentary about the people behind the door. And we knock on the door. All right? Ring the doorbell. Now, normally when I do it, I ring the doorbell and I knock. I do both. Why do I do both? Well, sometimes the doorbell doesn't work. And you can't always hear the doorbell, even when it does work. So I ring the doorbell and I knock. And when I knock on the door, I knock something like this. My wife's shaking her head, no. You know, when you knock on the door, you knock like this. You're there on business. You're there to get their attention. Don't be timid. If you're timid and knocking, that makes people on the other side of the door think, well, maybe you don't really care whether anybody answers the door or not. If I knock on their door, I want somebody to answer. Amen? I'm there to talk to somebody. And what are we there to talk about? The most important subject they will ever hear about. Their eternal destiny. Where they're going to spend an eternity. The people behind that door are among the most privileged people in the world on this day because an ambassador of Jesus Christ is knocking on their door. They don't realize that, but we should. We're privileged to be allowed to do that. They're privileged to be allowed to hear it. So we knock on the door, and they come to the door and answer the door. And the question might go something like this: how can I help you? Well, when I hear that question, my answer is usually something like this: we're here to help you. And that kind of piques their interest usually. And they want to know how. And I tell them who we are. That's one of the first things you should do is introduce yourself. Tell them your name. Tell them who you represent. We're from Vision Baptist Church. And we're just visiting in your neighborhood today, inviting folks out to church who don't have a church home. Do you have a church home? Yes, we go down to I can't think of the name of it right now. What does that tell you? They don't go very often. So this is a prime candidate. All right? Well, we want to invite you out to our church. We're just right down the street here, maybe a few blocks or a fraction of a mile. And we have a tract and offer them the tract with a schedule of our services on it. Our ministries, catalog our ministries, our youth ministries, Sunday school and all that. Let them know all the things we have to offer. And then I'll usually say something like this. You know, it's important that folks go to church. Especially in the day we live in. If there's ever a time when folks needed to be in church, it's the day you and I live in. Things like character, integrity, honesty. Those are traits that are almost non-existent in the society we live in today. When just a few generations ago, most everyone practiced those traits. I can remember when you could go into the bank and get a loan and not sign one document. You that old? I can remember it. There was a time you could do that. Now today, if you want to get a loan, you'll get writer's cramp before you finish filling out all the paperwork. Why? People are not trustworthy. We see it in government. We see it in business. We see it in schools. Any part of society you want to look at, we have issues because of character. Morals. Morality is based on the Bible. So it's important, folks, what? Go to church. So we talk to folks about going to church and how important it is that you go to church. And we'd like to see you in church, and we'd be honored to have you come and visit with us. But there is something more important than going to church. Did you know that? Most folks don't have an idea what I'm talking about, but I tell them. Going to heaven is more important than going to church. Do you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Most folks don't. Most folks will say something like, well, I hope so. I think so. I'd like to think I would. But few folks know for certain. If they don't know, my next question is something like this. If there were a way you could know that when you died you were going to heaven, if there were a way you could know it, would you like to? Most folks will say, yeah, well, sure. Who wouldn't? If I get an affirmative answer, my next question is this. Would you allow me to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure when you leave here you're going to heaven? If I can get that far, most folks will say yes. Not everyone, but most folks will. If they say, well, I don't have time right now, my next question would be this. Oh, that's fine. When would be a good time? Could you give me a good time that we can come back and I can share with you from the Bible how you can know for sure that heaven's your home and God's your Father? What would be a good time for you? And try to secure from them a time to return. Most folks will give you one. Now, when that time comes, they may or may not show up. But that's on them, not on you. Huh? You've done what you can do. By the way, if you say on such and such a day, when that day comes and that time comes, you need to be there. If there's anybody who ought to be people of their word, it's God's people. And if we say we're going to do something, we ought to do it. That's the right thing to do. If you can't do it, what should you do? Sometimes things come up that we have no control over and we can't make that appointment. What do you do in that case? Oh, all right. Or you call them and you apologize because you can't be there at that time. Can we set another time? But it's important that we keep our word. After all, we claim to be Christian, like Christ. Does Christ keep his word? Then what should we do? Keep our word. If I say I'll be there at a certain time, when should I be there? Not 5 minutes later. I should be there at the time I said. If church starts at 11 o'clock, when should I be there? Uh-oh, I'm going to meddling now. But we should be on time. Not late. I'm glad the Lord's never late. Amen? He's always on time. We should be too. Okay. Well, I'd planned on doing something different this morning, but we didn't get there. But next week, what I'm going to do is ask for volunteers. And we're going to go through presenting the plan of salvation with some volunteers. All right? So you be prepared next week. To come and present the plan of salvation. Will you do that? If you'll do that, would you shake your head like this? All right.